Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Nicola and Stephen got in touch with the show when we were talking about grief last week, just like Joey. And I just want to read out the text message they sent in. It says, "Hi Jen, I'm so sorry to hear her news." They were referring to an email I had from another listener about losing a baby. "In 2011, we lost two of our triplet boys full term. We had to explain to our 5 and 4-year-old boys that having got two new little angels to watch over them forever. Our third triplet, who survived, will be 10 next month. It's never easy, the anniversary and the birthday on the same day." Well, I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line now by Nicola and Stephen. Good morning.
Hi, Jennifer.
Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. First of all, thank you for your text message. I was kind of floored by the amount of messages we got in. It was like all these people around the country who've been through similar situations, had this opportunity to pay respects, grieve a little momentarily. Yeah. And I was saddened and shocked and delighted to get your text in a weird way, because, I mean, your story is quite unique in a sense that you had to bring home a baby.
Yeah.
It was 2011. We went full term with all three. No complications at all through the pregnancy, no concerns. Triplets are normal. Sorry.
We got right at the very end. We were a week away from the delivery, so the whole family were really, really prepared for the arrival of three babies.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen that way. God had other ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was comforting is because I read out an email I had from a listener whose worry, I suppose, going through a baby loss was how to explain it to her twin girls. And you had to do the same, Stephen, didn't you? Because you had to explain
to our sons. Yeah. And I think that was what prompted Nicola to text you, because she did really feel for that girl and her daughters.
Because there's no book on how to do this.
No.
There's no how to deal with this, how to explain to a child. Do you remember sitting the boys down and explaining to them what happened?
I do. I remember the day that I arrived back to Nicola's dad's house. It was very, very late in the day. We had gone to the hospital for a regular Tuesday appointment for our checkups. We had been going there every week for the previous months. So the boys went to school. My two lads went off to school as normal. We said we'll see you at dinner time. And when we got the news, when we arrived at the hospital, Nicola's sister, she got the boys from school, took them back to her dad's house. So it was 10 o'clock at night by the time I think I got back to see them. They knew something, was out of the ordinary. They knew something had happened. And, I just gathered them up and I sat on the floor with them, and I told them that two of their brothers had gone to heaven early, and that one of their brothers was in hospital and he was here, and they had a new brother, but unfortunately they had two that weren't going to come home with them. After that it's kind of gets a bit of a blur then, but they would sense, obviously they knew that something was going on from the fact that they were taken out of our house and back to Nicola's dad's house. They knew something wasn't right, so it just had to be kind of said to them
early
and as soon as possible,
And I want to get to how you dealt with it yourselves, because I think talking about it really gives people a lot of comfort who've been through the same. But how did they deal with it, Nicola? How did the boys deal with this news?
They were amazing, to be honest.
Were they?
Yeah, for a 5 and 4-year-old, they really did. They were excited, because we were coming home with the boy. We were 6 days off delivery. So Callum, our second eldest, was very much of the frame of mind. He won't have to fight to hold a baby because there's going to be three. So he kind of had the, well, you can have one and I can have one and then there'll be a space. So, you know, when they found out the news, they rang me in the hospital and distraught, you know, but there's a phenomenal rainbow counselling in the school down here.
Mm.
And they actually did the counselling for the 12-week session, and they did 2 years of the 12 weeks.
At a very young age, very young age.
Yeah. So I think that kind of helped them
process.
However way they talk about it with the kids, they did a phenomenal job, and it really helped them. We would talk about Aaron and Nathan all the time. Dylan went into school saying, "We're going on the radio today to talk about him and his brothers." He was super excited.
10 next month, the
31st of May, he'll be 10. And a phenomenal kid, you know. They made their communion there in September during the pandemic, and even that kind of stirred a whole lot of emotion, because any milestone we go through, and it's not fair in him in a way, and I know that, but we do always think
it should be three.
We went on to have another little boy after Dylan, Rhys. He'll be 8 in June, and so I think they find comfort in each other. Dylan is always really protective of Rhys.
Yeah.
A little Lifetime Foundation was my go-to in the early weeks and months. They're phenomenal. They're similar to Felicon, and they gave me so much information, like, which we never knew about, with the Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep Foundation, where photographers come into the hospital and take those photographs of your baby who has passed. Because I know when we were asked, did we want to take photographs, my sister, myself and my husband were in the room with Aaron and Nathan, and we couldn't do it. We weren't in the right frame of mind.
We were in shock.
Of course.
My sister, the following day, took one picture. When I was in hospital for the 7 days, we used to have the boys brought up to the room, and I'd spend a bit of time with Aaron and Nathan in the morning, and then I would go down to intensive care to Dylan. And even the comfort in that, spending time with them every morning. I think when the funeral came around, it was like we had to say goodbye. And they were buried with my mom in Greystone, so that was a comfort. But a little Lifetime Foundation gave us so much information throughout the years. Medical certificates relating to the birth of a stillborn child, we didn't know we were entitled to, and we were actually entitled to it. So there is help out there for people going through it now, people still trying to process. Information. There are so many phenomenal organizations out there, and solely run by fundraising or donations. I can't thank them enough for helping us the last 10 years through what I don't think any parent can really get over. I think you learn coping mechanisms to get through. You know, we had a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old, so
I think that what helped the kids process what had happened is that we have always treated them, Aaron and Nathan, as part of the family. And you know, we do talk about them regularly, and I think that has allowed our older kids, and then Dylan and Rhys, who came along later on, you know, accept that it has happened, and then it's part of our family history, is what we would describe it as, you know.
It's funny, I'm just thinking back to our previous caller, Joey, who still can't find him and his wife the words to explain to his daughter, who's 8 or 9, about the loss of his son, Alfie. And I suppose just listening to you guys, just the importance of grieving as a family sounds really important.
Yeah, we have the most amazing family, Stephen's family and my own family, and the friends that we had down here in Arklow are phenomenal. You know, one friend gave me a book shortly after we lost the boys, and she had written an inscription on the inside saying that, "Let this book be my safe place to mourn and cry, Aaron and Nathan, but yet be joyful for Dylan."
Mm.
To this day, I still go to that book to write everything down. Because,
wow, 10 years later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially coming up to his communion, because we had actually got a friend of ours who makes homemade jewellery, had actually made 3 little miniature crosses, beautifully, beautifully made, with Aaron, Nathan and Dylan on it. And just those kind of things.
They are a huge help. Yeah. A big, big help.
It's lovely to hear that your amazing friends that you're talking about 10 years later still acknowledge happened. Is that really important to you guys?
Yes. Yeah. I was actually talking to a friend about it yesterday. I was kind of using her as a sounding board before we came on today. And she actually said to me, she said, "Nicola, you make it so comfortable to talk about them that they feel comfortable talking about them." And yeah, so, but I think it everyone is different.
Yeah. When people are ready, and I suppose for you guys, you were full term. People were expecting these 3 boys to come home.
Yeah.
So you were faced with it very abruptly, weren't you? You had to face it. You'd no other choice.
It was, they passed away due to oxygen deprivation because of their size. Each baby was 5 pounds born, and they think they were just too big. Aaron and Nathan were identical twins, so they were in the same sack, and Dylan was in a separate sack, and that's how he survived. And unfortunately, Aaron and Nathan didn't.
How do you remember them on occasions like birthdays? And Joey mentioned lighting a candle. Do you do anything similar, or is the book your go-to? You mentioned the book, which is a lovely idea.
I would go to the book every milestone. I would go to the book, or if he did something, or, you know, anything that I think he might like maybe to read later on in life, because it's the positives with Dylan. The early weeks and months and even years were a lot of grief, but there was also a lot of stuff that I wrote in it. So on his birthday, we would let off balloons. So we get 3 helium balloons, and we bring them out to the garden, and Dylan holds onto his, and we, every year, it'll be 2 ones and 2 zeros this year, going up into the sky. Dylan, the boys can write little notes on the balloons, and we tell them that Aaron and Nathan will get their notes. We would have, before COVID, we would have gone to the church and lit candles for them that morning, or we would go down to the grave, where they are with my mom. But the balloons are what I think all the boys kind of find their way of, you know, paying connected. Their respects. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you tell me about Dylan? Because he's going to be listening back to this. And if you don't tell me what he's like, he'll be on to you.
He's a brat. No,
is he a brat? I've one of them as well. Tell me, I love brats.
No, we haven't. He's phenomenal.
He's a live wire. He's just so full of life. He just smiles everywhere he goes.
He's very, he wants to save the world. He's very much, he wants to save, he wants to take every stray animal home. He wants to, to take every frog in the garden and make it safe. He wants to, you know, at one stage he was trying to talk me into letting him go vegan because he didn't want the animals. I was like, no, do that. You know, so he kind of, he's so gentle. He's, you know, friends of mine who down here, who I've actually met and become very good friends because Dylan is here and their pals are, they're all in the same class together. And unfortunately, some of them have miscarried. And again, they feel that it wasn't being talked about. And, you know, they thought it was great that we were coming on today to talk about miscarriage and stillbirth. And they have little sisters and they all kind of veer towards Dylan because he's just so gentle. He's just a gentle soul. Now he's stubborn. Once he's set his mind to something, there's not really much getting around him, you know.
He like with the homework, Stephen? Is he, you know, does he put the head down and get the homework done or do I need to have words with him?
Sometimes it can take 10 minutes and sometimes it can take an hour. But no, he's quite good, you know. There's bribery is a great tool.
I'm all over that. I'm all over the bribery.
He wants to move to Australia and be a marine biologist. So I think we're going to have to pack our bags. And
he sounds phenomenal. He sounds great. I just want to thank you so much for sharing your story. I'll be thinking of you next month. When you're out in your garden with your balloons and celebrating Dylan's 10th birthday as well. You've done something phenomenal today for a lot of people listening. And a lot of texts coming in for you guys. Hey, Jen, I'm literally in bits listening here now, sending Nicola and Stephen loads of love. Lots of texts like that. And I think it is so important.
It really is.
It is important.
But only for people like you guys who've been through it, and it's so painful to even 10 years, 20 years to like to go back to that place. So I really appreciate you coming on the show and going to that place because you've helped so many people who are maybe suffering in silence a little bit and they really don't need to.
I completely agree. No one should suffer in silence because there's so much help out there. There's so many organizations out there and they were my go-to in those really, really dark, dark days and nights when the house was quiet. A Little Lifetime Foundation, the forums, because they're all bereaved parents, you know, and they can really, really help. So
I would understand.
I would hate to think that anyone would have to go through this alone because if they feel that they can't talk to their family or they can't talk to friends just yet, there is help out there and they are phenomenal. That literally got us both through, especially the early weeks and months and even the first couple of years. They're just there anytime, any hour of the day.
And just to mention them again, so you talked about Rainbows Ireland.
So no, sorry, it was Rainbow Counselling they did.
Rainbow Counselling.
Yeah, so they did it in St. Joseph's National School here in Temperaney. I don't know if many schools do it, but they did for a number of years. And I have to say it helped a lot of kids down here through grieving grandparents, parents, or in our case, siblings.
Siblings, yeah. I'm just getting information here from my producer. You can visit rainbowsireland.ie for more information and help for anybody who's going through something similar. Like Nicholas said, if you're not able to talk to friends and family right now, go and check out that site. And you can also access the Little Lifetime Foundation on alittlelifetime.ie. And Felicon, let's not forget about Felicon, who are an amazing service out there for people. So they are there. Reach out. You don't have to go through it alone. Nicola and Stephen, thank you so much for being on the show today. And I wish you the best of luck with everything.
Thanks, Jennifer. Take care.
Bye, guys. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.